Today is Thursday, yeah? 27th of August 2020. So we'll continue with our Art Sutta second edition sharing. Yeah? We are at lesson 40, page 198. So this particular lesson is very good. It's a summary of the cultivation. Cultivation that you need to understand so that when you are in the form of meditation, you know what is going on. And that one is very useful. So you all need to pay attention. The title I put there, Let Things Be, Then Investigate. That is what meditation is all about. When you are just aware, you don't do anything. Just let things be. Everything that arise, let it be. Then through the observation, we are the silent mind, the awareness within or sati. You will develop the understanding. That's how you investigate into all the essential Dhamma or all the truth that the Buddha has taught us. So through the observation, you will develop understanding. After I read to you the whole thing, you will understand. Eh? So as usual, we are off the light, then I will set the alarm, right? Then you can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. Always remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax into all mind states that arise. When you relax, you have to relax body and mind, completely relax. And just be at ease, like you have nothing else to do. Then after that, you maintain awareness. Just allow the silent mind to be aware. Don't try to know. The moment you know, you already gone beyond the awareness. So no need to know. You can perceive, but after that, finish. Perceive, finish. That's how you maintain awareness. You just want to be aware. Aware, no more. Aware, no more. Don't try to know. Yeah. When you start to develop the ability to be aware more and more, more and more, then thinking will slow down. Then after a while, the mind will return to its natural state of stillness. Tranquility, clarity. That's how you detect that true mind, that awareness nature within. So that is the meditative mind. So relax, maintain awareness. The third support is for as long as you can, means technically it's 24 hours. But initially, you can do it during your waking moments is already very good throughout the day when you wake up or when you are conscious. You should maintain awareness. Then later on, when you have developed that stability of mindfulness and awareness, you can try to go into your sleeping moments. You can try to develop awareness while you go into the sleeping mode. So all this, you can try it out. Initially, not easy because as you become very relaxed, then you will normally doze off. Then when you want to sleep, you are normally quite tired and you will just go into the unconscious or the subconscious and you are in your sleeping mode. But as you develop the ability to be aware more and more, more and more, then while you maintain the awareness and the body can rest and go into the sleeping mode, the mundane mind will go into the subconscious and the unconscious. But your awareness nature, you can stay there. That one is not easy, but you can develop it through your own experience. So you can give that a try, but you can never do it unless you have stabilized your sati, your daily mindfulness and your awareness nature, your spiritual faculty already developed. So relax, maintain awareness, silent for as long as you can. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner awareness and inner mindfulness for as long as you can. The stability of mindfulness is very important. So these are the mind states that you need to develop, train. When you are able to relax, maintain awareness, the silent mind will arise. And when you can just stay with it, to develop the understanding of what is going on in within your form of mind and life itself. That is observation to develop understanding and awakening. And basically meditation is to develop the training of the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. And when you are able to be in the state of constant awareness or ever mindful state, then use that mind to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is basically cultivating Noble Eightfold Path. Then you are in the heedful state. And according to the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. So you are destined for enlightenment the moment you can train your mind to be heedful. So heedfulness is most important. All of meditation must lead to heedfulness. Without heedfulness, your meditation cannot start. So whether it's formal meditation or just the informal daily mindfulness, both need heedfulness. When you understand that, then meditation becomes easy. Then all of the teaching that you have developed the understanding can help you bring about that transformation, awakening. So before we go into the Dhamma sharing and discussion, we will continue with our invocation to the Devas. Turn to page 6. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta Na otasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Na otasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido. අනුතරෝ පුරිස ධම්මසාරති සත්තාදේවා මනුසාන බුද්ධෝ භගවාති ස්වාකාතෝ භගවතා දමෝ සන්දිිතිකෝ අකාලිකෝ එහි පාසෙකෝ ඕපනයිකෝ ආචතං වේදිතාපෝ විනෝහිති සුපටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාක්කසංඝෝ උජුපටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාක්කසංඝෝ ඤායපටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාක්කසංඝෝ සාමිචිපටිපන්නෝ භගවතෝ සාවක්කසංඝෝ යදිදං චතරි පුරිස යොකානි අත්ථ පුරිස පුගලා හේසා භගවතෝ සාවක්කසංඝෝ ආහුනේයෝ පාහුනේයෝ දකිනියෝ අංජලි කරණියෝ අනුතරං පුඤ්ඤංකේතං ලෝකසාති සාදු සාදු සාදු. Okay, you can now relax body and mind, maintain some form of attention. And we will continue with our Dhamma sharing. We were trying to finish off the Heart Sutta first before we convert the Thursday class into Dhamma in daily life. So Dhamma in daily life is also a very useful topic. And you all can give me whatever suggestion on which aspect of Dhamma that you all want to develop further understanding. We have many transcript books developed, so you should actually go into it. And from all the transcripted books, there are a lot of essential Dhamma or Dhamma that you can use to apply, to cultivate, to use it. The application aspect of Dhamma in daily life. So Dhamma in daily life, there are two steps towards the cultivation of Dhamma in daily life. Initially is to learn and develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma that you can make use of to develop the cultivation in daily life. And all this essential Dhamma the Buddha has taught us, but I have, over the years of sharing, expanded on all this essential Dhamma. And we have developed many transcript books which are very important, very useful. And you can really develop the understanding of it and put them into practice. Every aspect of the essential Dhamma, apply them. If you can apply them, then it will be very useful. You have to go to this. I will not start so fast. Let Jinhao learn. No. Sui, how to go to the main image? Is it the new share? Stop share. Okay. So tonight we have to excuse us. Where Jinhao is new, he is learning. So how to change the frame over for you to see? You also need to maybe memorize it and learn it. Mm. So before I go into the lesson 40, I will briefly explain to you all what it means by Dhamma in daily life and how you can develop the cultivation of it in daily life. So maybe I will summarize it again. Dhamma in daily life, there are two steps towards achieving it. The first step is to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. And this essential Dhamma, the scope is very, very wide. They are all spin-off from the Four Noble Truths, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Then if you were to go into the Noble Eightfold Path, all the teachings are there. That's why there is the meditation. From right view, the essential Dhamma spin-off. The three important right views in regards to the spiritual law of nature that governs life and existence, they are Karma Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. Karma Niyama is basically the law of karma. This spiritual law is very powerful. It explained to us how all of life, they are governed by this moral causation. We call it a moral causation is because karma involves mental intention. So mental intention is chitena, the Buddha said, is chitena that I call karma. So chitena means mental volition, mental intention. The moral aspect comes in when you create mental volition or mental intention. So this chitena is the one that we have to be mindful of, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome when we arise them. Because your mental intention behind the arising of any action, speech or thought process involve volition, which is mental intention. Without wisdom, you cannot arise right thought, right speech, and right action. You need wisdom to arise them. So all volition before you awaken or have the right view, you cannot have right volition. So right and wrong is basically a relative convention that the human mind or the mundane mind created. So everyone is different. We have our views, our opinion, our conditioning. So whatever that is not in accordance with our views, opinion, and conditioning or understanding, then we say it's wrong. Whatever that is in accordance, we say it's right or wholesome. Then right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome volition is dependent on the individual. If it's right according to the individual, then that is not the truth, the reality, because it is not based on nature's law. So right according to the individual, according to you or others, is of no use. It is not the truth. The truth must be based on nature's law that governs life and existence, like the three spiritual law combined with the two scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Vijja Niyama. These five become the five universal order, or the Buddha called the Pancha Niyamas, that governs all of life and existence. So the scientists, they progress very fast is because they are able to penetrate the first two scientific law, physical law of nature, which is Uttu Niyama, and the biological order of nature, which is Vijja Niyama. So as they develop more understanding, they will be able to progress further. Then they will be able to develop more and more new things based on all this understanding. That's how our technical understanding help us to create all the beautiful scientific products or technical products that are so useful. That's how our civilization evolved. That's how we are able to develop the advancement in science and technology that can lead us to modernize the way we live life and enable us to understand many, many things. The scientists can even probe the universe, create microscope or telescope to see things that are impossible with the natural physical eye that the human being has. So with the assistance of science, we can see things that are very minute, very small, because our microscope has the capacity to magnify many, many times. Then we can also create giant telescope to actually look into space, which is so far away. We are talking about millions and millions and millions of light years. That's why it's billions of light years. And to see that, we need all this instrument. So scientific understanding leads to progress in the scientific field. Likewise, spiritual understanding need the understanding of the spiritual law to break through into the spiritual field. So when we can understand the three nature's law that governs life and existence, the spiritual aspect of nature's law, then we will develop great wisdom in the spiritual field. Then we can understand many, many things. So these three spiritual law of karma, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama are very important. From there, all the teaching evolve and start. The first one, which is most powerful, is the moral causation, law of karma. It governs all of our actions, speech, and thought process, every living beings. Yeah. Whenever you arise, your mind, your thought process, your mental volition that is involved will actually create you accordingly. That's the reason why that first right view in regards to the law of karma will enable you to understand life and live life appropriately. Without this understanding, you will not be able to understand life and you will become heedless. And the moment you are heedless, you develop karmic negativity. That's how, through self-delusion, ignorance, you cause your own karmic negativity leading to downfall. Then when you don't take care of karma, your life will be affected. Well, according to the Buddha, after his realization, he came to understand this very important law. He said, according to this law of karma, we are all, means not only human beings, including all living beings, born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So if you understand this right view, then you can stop your cultivation. Because karma plays such a great role in our life. The moment we are born into this world, we inherited all our karma. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma. Then every moment, every instant, we are conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are every moment and every instant while going through life because of our karma. So looking at life, you can see our life is 100% governed by karma. So in order to have the good life, we must take care of karma. Because the moment we take care of karma, we take care of life, then we will understand life and we will have the reward, the beautiful good life as our reward. So this very beginning of cultivation needs this right view. So this right view can transform our life, can make us different personality-wise, character-wise, understanding-wise. We will become different. Then when we become different based on this right view, we will have the good life. That is what Dhamma is all about. So that first right view is very critical, very vital. Then because karma is so important, in order for us to take care of karma, the Buddha actually gave us the advice. The advice of all Buddha is the same, is to just take care of karma. How do we take care of karma? The Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. Whatever evil you produce, the law of karma actually hit back. Because according to the Buddha, this law of karma is a nature's law. You reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. That's it. Whereas if you become heedful, you have the right view and you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Then you will have the good life. Otherwise, you will have all the negativity of karmic friction that will lead to suffering, misery. So all this are very important understanding. And because of that, the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil. You don't avoid all evil, you don't take care of karma. Then we need to understand what constitutes evil. Then the teaching spell out clearly to us the three evil roots. They are the root of all evil: greed, hatred, and delusion. That's how you start. So based on that, the Buddha said, you must understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be sensitive, so that you can develop the ability to avoid evil. Without the mindfulness, awareness, and the sensitivity, you cannot see the evil roots. You can't understand what these evil roots are. And if you cannot see them, how can you abandon them, root them out? So mindfulness is needed, heedfulness is needed. The meditative mind, which is silent, tranquil, and still, we call it the silent mind, is needed. So when you are able to train this mind in meditation, so that it is constantly aware, ever mindful, to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, that become heedfulness. And when you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Then after avoiding all evil, the Buddha say, you need to move on to the second step, to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. Because avoiding evil alone is not enough. Cultivating the ennobles of karma or evil is more important. So to cultivate wholesomeness, we need to follow Noble Eightfold Path. From right view, we arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And to do that, we need to apply the four right effort. We need mindfulness, heedfulness to see them. Yeah. So all these are already in the teaching. But tonight I want to give you the whole picture, the big picture, so that you can understand, so that you can apply the Dhamma in daily life. So Dhamma in daily life is the most important. You cannot apply them to live life, to cultivate, to awaken, then it does not give rise to condition for you to have the good life. So cultivation is very important. Dhamma in daily life is about application of this Dhamma that you have already developed the understanding to help you understand life and live life. And you can also develop the awakening, which is the enlightenment. So the third aspect is purification of mind. If you just avoid evil to good, you can have good life, good karma. But then you are not completely free from suffering. Because a person who has good karma, who is able to avoid all evil to good, will have good parami, good merits. But when it comes to living life, there are certain realities of life and existence that can afflict you despite what you have got, all of the good karma, merits, everything. You may be a very meritorious person, very wholesome, full of merits. But then when it comes to a certain life reality as spoken by the Buddha in the first noble truth, especially the first four, birth, old age, sickness and death, if you don't have the wisdom, you cannot confront them with wisdom. Then when you attach and cling to all this reality, you will suffer. You will become miserable. You will be afflicted. Then the fifth reality is also the same, separation from your loved ones, from your wealth, possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Then when you met people whom you don't like, it can also give rise to unhappiness. Then when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, when you cannot get what you want, you also suffer. Then the final summary, the Buddha said, in short, if you grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa, it will lead to suffering. So the final summary is very important. The five aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, is dukkha. We have to understand all this. We have to apply this teaching, this number, reflect, contemplate. Then we have to listen to the true Dhamma constantly to develop the initial wisdom. Then after that, put them into practice and cultivation, then awaken. Once you awaken, it will root out your wrong view, your sakkayaditti, your self-delusion, your ignorance. So when you have your view straightened, you are no longer deluded. You are no longer misled. Then the phenomenal world of form and consciousness will have no power over you. Then you can live life beautifully. You can come to terms with the realities of the moment, anytime, any place, anywhere, no matter what happened to you or to the world or to your loved one. You are still at peace because you understand the form and mind is dependent, originating, condition, arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent and changing entity. It's never you. But it's a vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world, karmically conditional. So every segment of the form and mind that arise, that you come, none of them are you. They are all different segments of your life. So if you have developed the meditative understanding, you will come to know every moment of consciousness there is a birth and a death. Then you expand it over the continuous segmented time. Means you create mental volition every moment, every instant throughout your life. And the summation of all this become your karmic nature. So depending on your wisdom, understanding, you will create them accordingly. So before you are enlightened or awakened, chances is most of the time you create negativity of karmic. And your life will suffer. You will be afflicted. So the purpose of Dhamma is to give you the understanding so that you can make that choice to transform your life, to change your life for the better, so that you can live life in accordance with the Dhamma way. When it's in accordance with the Dhamma way, means it's follow nature's law. So these three spiritual laws that I talk about, I only focus on the first, Kama Niyama, just now. Then there are two more. Citta Niyama is the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. The Buddha explained that there is a nature's law that governs how we function as a human being, how our mundane mind arises and passes away, how it is always dependent, originating, condition arising, following this dwelling, Paticca Samuppada. When you understand this dwelling, Paticca Samuppada, you will understand how you function as a human being, how your mind, the mundane mind, arise and move. So it is only through meditation, silent inner awareness, silently observing, you can develop the understanding and the wisdom. Without the mindfulness, you can't. So mindfulness is essential to understand all this spiritual law. Without mindfulness, you can't. That's the reason why the Buddha emphasized so much on mindfulness, especially heedfulness. Even before his parinibbana, he advised the monk, apamadeda sampadeda, means strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Then the last spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama. Means all the essential Dhamma, all the teaching that he has taught us, all these teachings spin off from the Four Noble Truths and the Three Turning, especially Noble Eightfold Path. So when you understand all this, these are the essential Dhamma that we can develop the understanding and make use of it, apply it into our daily life, so that we can really make it a living reality, so that Dhamma in daily life become a living reality. Then you can become a transformed living being. And when you have this Dhamma, you become beautiful. You will never be heedless anymore. You will be ever mindful, constantly meditative, heedful all the while. Then you will be a blessing to all. You will have a good life. And over the years, I have shared with you all this essential Dhamma based on the Noble Eightfold Path, based on the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. So we started off with Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which was the three turning of the Four Noble Truths. Then from there, all the essential Dhamma spin off from there, especially the Noble Eightfold Path. Almost all the teachings are there. And it is a very beautiful teaching, very profound, very amazing. When you develop the understanding, you become different. You become a transformed human being. You become beautiful. Then life become meaningful. Life become wonderful. Then there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness and clarity. So all this will bring about wholesomeness, wisdom, goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, all of virtue will be within your personality and your character. It become a part of you. So these are the essential Dhamma that we need to learn, put into cultivation. So all this transcriptable audio file, video file, short video file, they have the teaching. Then we also have some of these very good books. One of them is the Heart Sutta. You can pick up the essential Dhamma from there. You can learn from there. Then the audio file, they are all categorized. You should thank the committee member who set up the website, especially Chin Hao Audio, Sui An, and others who are instrument behind the creation of this website, even Brother Lau and many others who has helped out in one way or another. Then over the years, we also came out with a lot of very good transcript books. Apart from the Heart Sutta, we also have that daily code, Brother Teo's daily code, Dhamma daily code. That book also is very beautiful. The 160 plus of daily code. They are all very important, very beautiful, very penetrative, and a lot of advice are given. So if you understand them and apply them, you will progress very fast. Then we also have the Six Patria Platform Sutta. Apart from Heart Sutta, Six Patria Platform Sutta, we also develop a lot of transcript book. And all of the Dhamma talk that I delivered at various places, especially the one that I delivered in Klang, then also SGBA and many other Buddhist centers. Especially our own sharing, Tuesday class, Thursday class, and Sunday class. Many Kayamita has volunteered to do the transcript, the draft for me to edit. Then we finalize it into transcript book. Then we use Kayamita Fund to print it for free distribution so that more people can benefit. So all this transcript book, we can make use of it to learn the essential Dhamma, then just apply. So there are many, many ways to develop the understanding of Dhamma in daily life. So these are the scope that you have the possibility of going into. So it is like unending. But for those who already have developed the faith, the sadha, virya, and the mindfulness, you will find it very beneficial, very useful, and you will progress very fast. And because of that, it is like Dhamma, very precious Dhamma, or Dhamma gem, where you can really make use of to develop the cultivation. Then Dhamma in daily life can give rise to a lot of variation and understanding. If you don't go through Dhamma in daily life, you cannot awaken. There are too many things that happen in life where the Dhamma can help you develop the understanding and expand on your understanding and experience. Because to really stabilize the understanding of Dhamma, you need a lot of exposure. Life itself is our greatest teacher. We need to learn from life. And we are part of nature. And man and nature must harmonize. That is life. Without nature, without living beings, there is no light. So all of consciousness, they have to evolve. All of form and mind, they need to go through light. Without light, there is no creation. Without light, there is no existence. So existence itself is light. So when you understand light, you understand existence. Then you will understand life. And you can become beautiful. Without understanding life, you cannot understand what is going on in life. You cannot understand what existence is. The complexity of our universe, our beautiful planet, Mother Earth, is very beautiful. So through Dhamma understanding, scientific understanding, we can probe, we can penetrate, and we can really develop great understanding. Then through this wisdom and understanding, life becomes meaningful, wonderful, and we can have a lot of joy. Then our mind states are always tranquil, peaceful, aware within. And we develop mindfulness, heedfulness, leading to all the wisdom, understanding, and the joy that can enable us to have the good life. So this is the summary that I want you to understand, so that later on, after we finish the Heart Sutta book, we can have the Thursday class back to normal. Our previous Thursday class is always initially puja, then we have our chanting, then after the invocation to the devas, then we have the meditation reporting. So meditation reporting was spin off the Dhamma. So now instead of meditation and meditation reporting, which we had already for so long with all the transcript, all the notes, all the sharing, you have more than enough. So what we need to go into is Dhamma in daily life. Not so much of just meditating, sitting, then don't know how to apply the essential Dhamma. So this new Thursday class, which we are going to start after the Heart Sutta sharing finish, will be a very useful topic for Kayamita to develop the understanding and the cultivation. And this one is the final, I should say the final stretch. Like you go for a relay run. This is your final home run. Dhamma in daily life. So if you can understand this and develop it out well, you will progress. And this one centered on daily mindfulness, application of Dhamma in daily life. And this is the real cultivation. Formal meditation, like I explained, serve two purposes. First, which is the most common purpose, is to help you to train your mind so that this mind is aware, mindful. Then you're supposed to stabilize it. That is the first most important purpose of formal meditation. Then the second aspect is to go deep into the formal meditation to realize the enlightenment, Nibbana, the unconditioned, the cessation, and to move into the gateway, the consciousness part and all those things. So when you are in the formal meditation, where you have already developed the awareness until it's very stable, then you can relax, maintain awareness, and stay at the heart area. Then you will locate the gateway. And this cultivation are the higher cultivation for great beings, for those who go the Bodhisattva way. If you are not going the Bodhisattva way, you can just take the sainthood way and just realize the glimpse of Nibbana, one momentary moment of cessation. That one also will help you. But after that, if you want to understand more, penetrate the Dhamma deeper, and develop great understanding, you will have to decide whether you want to go the Bodhisattva way or not. You will have to find out on your own. Yeah. But those who have gone that way, they will know it's so different, it's so rewarding and so wonderful, and there are so much more to Dhamma, to the cultivation, than just the sainthood way. So this aspect is what you need to understand. Then for you to develop the real wisdom, you must come out into life, develop the daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness. It is from there that wisdom arises, the awakening arises. In the form of meditation, it's not easy. Unless you have cultivated before from your past, then based on certain condition, suddenly it may trigger off awakening. But when it happens, that is just the beginning. It's like that Dhamma door open. But you need to familiarize yourself with this understanding of that aspect of truth, the Dhamma door. And to do that, you need to stabilize your understanding by going into life. If you don't go into life, you cannot penetrate. You cannot develop that penetrative understanding. Because the Nietzsche's law requires a lot of understanding. Even the law of karma, the Buddha said, is very, very complex, very complicated. You need to be a great being or a Samasambuddha to really comprehend it. Because there is so much possibility. Living beings are so many, billions and billions and billions. Then everyone is so different. Their karmic past, their karmic nature, their condition, the way they arise. That every civilization is different. Every life you evolve. And for you to have the complete understanding to be a Samasambuddha, you really have to go into life. That's the reason why the Bodhisattva way is like unending, so long, so many eons. And we call it Asankhya Kappas or eons. Why do we need such long cultivation? Because over the aeons and aeons and aeons of birth and death, you get to experience all of the possibility and variation. Without that, you can't. You not only go through all the 31 plane of existence, all of the possibility and variation. So this is the reason why the Bodhisattva way is so much more intense, so much more enriching and complete as compared to the normal sainthood way. Sainthood way is relatively really easy, but it is already a great achievement even if you can awaken to the sainthood way to become either Sutapan, Sakadagami, Anagami or Arahant. It's already a very great achievement. Really. But most people who has the condition to realize all this, they will finally come to know that there is a lot more beyond the sainthood way. When you come to understand, you will never turn back. You will go all out because it's really rewarding, wonderful. Although it like take very long. Before you understand, you may have the fear, oh, you're so long. I don't think I want to spend that type of time. So you say, quickly realize the enlightenment. Okay, just now I thought stuck. Because the frame stuck for a while. Well, now okay already, so no need to adjust. Okay, now I will go back to the notes. Jinhao will learn how to operate it. Okay. So now you listen. This lesson 40 is very useful. It teaches you how to meditate, how to develop the formal meditation. The title is Let Things Be, Then Investigate. Investigate using the silent mind, the awareness within, the stability of mindfulness that you have developed. When random thoughts arise, what I'm trying to tell you is when you are doing the meditation, formal meditation, when random thoughts arise, do not react, suppress, or try to control them. Just let things be and flow with them. This one, the meaning is very deep. You have to really reflect on it, contemplate on it. Then when you are doing the formal meditation, are you following this instruction? Do you understand what I try to teach you? Because most of the so-called Buddhists or cultivator in inverted commas, they don't know what they are doing in the name of meditation. They become gullible. They sit without knowing why they sit. And they thought by sitting, they are meditating. Then they follow instruction. They try to note here, note there, do this, do that. Then when you ask them to report, you know what they will report to you. They will just tell you, I don't feel anything. Then some will tell you, I realize I got a lot of thought. This one is better. At least they are mindful to that extent, although the mindful are not strong. But what are you supposed to do in the name of meditation? I read this sentence again. Then hopefully you understand. When random thought arise, do not react. Suppress means what? Don't question. Don't go and say, why I have this random thought? Why I cannot stop the thought? When you start to come up with this type of gullible question, you are not meditating. That means you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. Just like that day, Tuesday night, Selina, when he asked the question about bowing, he saw the Mahayana do the Korean style, I think. They do the bowing like so nice, so different. Then he said, I was on just 5-point prostration, like that, to her, like, not correct. Then compare. Then I try to guide her. I said, so what is your question? She can't answer me until I have to maybe help her to phrase the question. I said, is your question based on what you observe, you saw in the video, the Mahayana, they do it like that, like the full prostration and all those things. It's like they are developing mindfulness. Then you think yours, the 5-point one you do, is not going to help you, not going to develop the mindfulness. Then later on, after I explained, she felt the joy and the understanding. Then funny, the thought just come out and question again. Say, but Brad, not everybody can do it. This is completely out. Does it matter whether everybody can do it or not? He said, some people may have headache, cannot do the bowing. That's the reason why when you are not focused, when you don't understand what meditation is, and you do not understand the instruction and the teaching, the essential Dhamma, you will end up having this type of funny thinking, thought. Then you cannot progress. So what we need to understand is when random thought arise, do not react or suppress or try to control them. Means what? Let them be, understand? Then you find out why every time you want to meditate, heedless thinking, random thought arise. Why those who have the spiritual faculty, who do the bowing, train their mind and develop the stability of mindfulness, they don't have this type of problem. There is meditation. So find out. So what you need to do is, I read again. When random thought arise, do not react. always remember that. Don't try to know, don't react, don't suppress, don't try to control. Just let things be and flow with them. Means accord and flow. So if you just silence your mind, maintain awareness, don't do anything, what will happen to the heedless thinking? What will happen to the thought process? Find out. That is meditation. Because you don't have the faith, you didn't listen, you didn't understand the instruction. And when you meditate, you go back to your same old way, your habitual way, which is thought-based because of your conditioning, where you have been exposed to so many of this conditioned thought-based thinking and meditation. And the worst is, you go by reasoning, logic. Then the question that come, you cannot see that they are irrelevant. They are totally irrelevant. Because you fail to understand why you meditate. When you are not focused, when you don't understand what is meditation and why you meditate, then you will not be able to progress. So the first thing that I always explain is meditation is to develop heedfulness. Where the Buddha already explained, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. So without heedfulness, you cannot start. You cannot meditate. Then what is heedfulness? Ever mindful, constantly meditative. So what must you do? To be ever mindful, I must train my mind to be mindful, that stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then only I can cultivate meditation, which is Noble Eightfold Path. If I understand this, I can start, isn't it? Then I will know. I train my mind to be aware. So to train my mind to be aware, there are two ways. Develop the spiritual faculty, the hindrance will be gone. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance will make you think. Hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. So it's either you develop the spiritual faculty, then stabilize your mindfulness and awareness, then just follow the simple instruction that I have given you, the four support, the first three. Just relax into every mind state that arises, then maintain awareness and find out that is meditation itself. Because when you do that, you don't think. When you don't think, that thinking will slow down, the mundane mind will slow down, the heedless thinking will slow down, until the mind returns to its original state before the stirring. That's how the silent mind arises. That's how Bojing got it. After half an hour, suddenly the shift of consciousness came. Then she realized the thinking all stopped. Then you can understand what is going on. But all of a sudden, that silent mind, the true mind, returned. When that returned, there is no thinking, no thought process, just aware. And she realized and understand what that nature is. So beautiful, so amazing. On her own, she described it. There was no agitation, no mind state, nothing. Just aware. So peaceful, so tranquil, so still, so full of joy. And then it can see, it can understand, it know what is going on. That is meditation. Don't go and do. Who do? The thought do. When the thought is active, how can your mind be silent? How can you realize the true mind, the silent mind? Because the doing is by the thought. When the thought is actively focusing, concentrating, or labeling, or suppressing, or doing all those funny things, you cannot meditate. You cannot be peaceful. So understand all this. This other way is, there is a reason why all the other cultivators, they got problem. They don't understand this, so they don't know how to develop the meditation. And they know that they think a lot. The mind think a lot. Heedless thinking, wandering thought. Every time they try to sit and meditate, this thing comes. So the only way for them to do it is to be logical. They ask for method and technique, object of meditation, to anchor the mind so that the mind is not heedlessly thinking or lost in thought. So if they cannot anchor the mind, they cannot meditate. That's why all the method, technique, and instruction or object of meditation, they ask you to apply thought, sustain thought to develop the jhana so that the mind doesn't think. So apart from focusing and concentration, sometimes they teach you to be mindful. And that one is the correct one. But people don't understand. Like Anapanasati, the Buddha said mindfulness of the in and out breath, people go and modify that to what? Note the feeling at the tip of the nostril. Then go and focus into absorption to develop piti, sukhang, one-pointedness, ekagata. Then concentrate. Means apply thought, sustain thought. Then experience piti, sukhang, then ekagata, one-pointedness. So develop all the jhana, energy, feel, everything. Because they got no other way. If they don't fix their mind there, this mind will wander off. So object of meditation, technique, they are just skillful means to initially anchor the mind so that this mind does not wander off. But you're supposed to train the mind to be aware, to be mindful. That's why anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. You can just do following instruction of the Buddha, breathing in aware, breathing out aware. The awareness and the breath move as one without thought. Then you are developing sati. So when you are developing sati, you will stabilize. Then this sati becomes very quiet until the breath becomes very still, no more movement. All object of meditation finally also lead to the stillness, the silence. There is a free mind that is aware without focusing, without concentration. If you know that this is what is happening, then you don't become gullible. Then you will know how to meditate. You will not end up in thought-based meditation, energy field, focusing, concentration, suppressing your emotion, everything. Then thought actively doing, like somebody meditating, and then keep on looking for calmness, peacefulness. Oh, I had a good meditation, my mind very quiet. All this is the egoic mind, the thought. So when thought is active, you cannot meditate, you cannot develop the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness within. And without the ability to be aware, how can you understand what is going on? I already explained. Living being can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking and reacting or emotion, or you are just aware without thought. So if you are just aware without thought, you can understand what is going on. You are in the state of awareness to observe. But when you are thinking and preoccupied with what you are thinking and the emotion that arise, how can you be aware? You are being distracted, lost in thought, heedless. Understand this, see this clearly. Then meditation becomes easy. So now I read the whole sentence again, you will understand. This is very beautiful. This one, I summarize it very well. Let things be, then investigate with the silent mind or inner awareness. In formal meditation, when random thought arise, do not react. Do not become unhappy. Do not complain. Do not react. Do not suppress. Like try to fix, control the thought. Go into one-pointedness. Then apply thought, sustain thought. Don't want to let the thought move. No. Do not react. Do not suppress. Do not try to control them. Just let things be and flow with them. Means relax, maintain awareness. Echo and flow. Aware, aware, aware. Finish. Then let it slow down. Then investigate with the silent mind and find out what happens when you do that. When you do not create active thinking, when you do not use thought-based meditation to meditate, when you do not react, suppress, control or focus, when you just let things be at ease, at peace. Find out what happened. That is meditation. That's why just relax and maintain awareness. No need to do anything. The doing is by the thought. Understand this and you will progress very well. Then after that, you will come to understand that they are just thoughts which comes and go, arise and pass away according to your mental conditioning. Where you are so conditioned, your habitual thinking, you keep on doing that throughout the day. That's the reason why the five mental hindrances are very, very latent, very strong, very powerful, until it becomes habits. We call it habitual tendency. Well, every moment of sense experience or every moment of consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or think of something, your mind stir and react based on your views, opinion, and conditioning, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So this is essential desire and evil mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you become heedless, you think a lot. So if these two are the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire and ill will, and you continue to arise them throughout the day, almost every moment of consciousness, what will happen to you? It becomes habits. And habits are very difficult to unwind. That's why you have no equanimity, no peace of mind. Every moment also bosong, unhappy already, like and dislike. Well, everything must go your way, otherwise you react. You become like affected by that reality. Then sometimes nice experience, beautiful scene or nice smell, aroma, you are lost in thought and drawn into it also, you don't know. This is heedless, lack of mindfulness. When you are mindful, you are aware within and you can experience that. That is mindfulness. Then you can see the beauty, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Miss every moment, every instant, with that full awareness, you experience all this unfolding. That is meditation. Where we have our senses. When we are aware, our senses is heightened, sensitive. And we can experience all this sense experience, which is so pristine, so pure, so beautiful. Without the like and dislike, views, opinion, and all this coming in to interfere. That's why you can be with the moment. Experience that peace within, that joy, the understanding. Then when you just observe, everything is so new, so pristine, like first time you are seeing it. That's living life. Otherwise, through memory, you think you see, microphone, that one, handphone, they ask you what generation, I think old one. Then if you are very sharp, you like that handphone thing, you can recognize, that is the latest, that one not cheap. Then you want to borrow and have a look. But are you observant? Are you mindful? Are you with your awareness every moment, every instant? Try it. It is so different. That is life. That is living. That is not just gullible, conscious, with the heedless thinking going on. When you are not aware, you are lost in thought. And most of the time, craving draws you. Craving can be positive and negative. So all this is what is happening. So when you understand that, you will understand what I mean. Then investigate and find out what happened when you do that. You will come to understand that they are just thoughts which arise and pass away, which come and go. following your mental conditioning, your views, your opinion, your habitual tendency. So all this is happening. So see them. You will also come to understand that when your five mental hindrances are around, you are not peaceful because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. And when the five spiritual faculties are there after you have cultivated them, it is so different. The spiritual faculty can counter the hindrance. When you have the spiritual faculty, the hindrance cannot arise. We have gone through. Our spiritual faculty are so beautiful. When you have the saddha, means when you are confident in the Buddha and his teaching, your mind is calm and composed. Then when you have virya, there is energy, there is spiritual zeal that will drive you to cultivate, where you see the importance of this teaching, the cultivation. It can awaken you, free you from suffering, and transform you to become a beautiful being, to be a blessing to all. So all this will make you different. Then after that, you will strive on with heedfulness to cultivate sati. Then when sati comes, your mind becomes naturally aware without thought. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means what? At the moment of sense experience, it's collected and unwavering. It's just aware. It does not stir, it does not react like before. That's why mental hindrance or sensual desire, ill will does not arise. You can experience that beautiful moment, no harm, no problem. Even when you go through suffering, the first noble truth reality, like the Buddha says, suffering is to be understood. Experience that with the full awareness. How is it like to go through suffering? Means when the mind does not attach to what happened to the physical body, when the tactile consciousness, because you have a consciousness trapped inside, you have the senses, when this sensation of pain or whatever that arise, these are sensations that are not easy to endure. We are so conditioned to believe that these are very negative sensations which you want to reject. That's why we label it as pain. But sensation is just sensation. So with wisdom, you can develop the meditative understanding. You can just silence your mind and be with it. Be with it means what? Yeah, that so-called sensation, normal people cannot take it. They suffer, they become afflicted, miserable. They just quickly want to seek a cure. See? But your understanding and wisdom can make you different and free you. Try it. I tried it before. Even whatever pain, itchiness, numbness, or whatever, very severe. I just feel it silent. Then I realize the awareness that is aware is free of the form and mind. The form and mind is the form and mind. The delusion is the one that conditions you to think and become miserable, afflicted. There is attachment, craving, clinging, grasping. But when you are just aware, just that moment, conscious, aware, you can endure and no problem. Then I realize if I don't label it, my sati take over, I'm at peace. I can be with it. Then I know when condition is like that, things will be like that. So I need to do what I have to do. I need to seek a cure. I seek a cure. I need to see a doctor, I need to consult somebody who knows, can help me, I consult. But I don't panic. I don't get miserable, understand? I just endure. Even while going to the hospital, you just endure. Then when you reach there, waiting for your turn, waiting for the doctor to come and visit you, you have to endure, you have to endure. Then you have clarity of mind, you have awareness, mindfulness. This is what meditation is all about. Whether pleasant or unpleasant, when you are aware, you can be with it. And you can really understand that thing so beautifully. Because it's just the awareness that is aware. And the awareness is not a being. It has got no feeling, nothing, no thought process.
feeling arise because you go and think the wrong thought. That's why it conditions emotion, like and dislike. Then you label it with negative emotion. So all this you can find out. The silent mind that is aware can understand all this. Then you don't have any more problem, no matter how sick. Then my mind can develop the understanding after that. Like, let's say somehow something like accident or whatever happened, then this whole body smash out or get into very severe injury, it's not going to affect me. Yeah, I will understand. There is no fear. I will look at it. These are elements. This is my body. It's not me. But the consciousness that is trapped inside will receive that tactile sensation. If I'm not deluded, I can maintain awareness and be with it. I just let things be. Nothing will happen. So what? What is there? Nothing dying. Finally, when the blood lost too much, when your, what they call, life force is already very weak, then all this will starts to, like, slow down. Then, because it no longer has that life force that can actually maintain the life, animate into a human, because the injury, the organ all already having problem. Then if the spinal cord is affected, straight away you cannot maintain consciousness, it's gone. If your brain is affected, your consciousness is damaged, depending on which part of the brain. So they have the various part of the brain responsible for various things. So you will lose that function, but you can have awareness inside. That one never die. And then finally, when all this craving force no more dissipate, then they call death. Actually not death. The breath, everything slow down until it stops. No more breathing, no more heartbeat, nothing. Then this consciousness will come back into one. This is a random of consciousness. Then it will float out. It will come out. But if you have mindfulness awareness, you can be aware of the whole process. That's why nothing dies. Then at that moment, because there is no fear, no ignorance, there is no rebirth consciousness, which means you are a bodhisattva. You will not die with ignorance, with delusion. There is a reason why a cultivator is different, a meditator is different. Then later on, when the random of consciousness come out, this one is separate. And this one, no more feeling, nothing. No more pain, nothing. There is without the physical. So the aggregate become different again. Because without the physical, you cannot experience all those so-called karmic type of thing. Because the form and mind is for karmic to arise. Because you have a physical body, your consciousness trapped inside. So whatever that goes wrong with this physical body, the form and mind, the consciousness experiences it. That's how it can condition suffering, misery. That's how karma works. But when you understand, the karma ceases to have power over you. That's why it can just be with the moment, aware. Then it can see clearly the awareness is the awareness. The mundane mind is the mundane mind. The two are totally different. That is the dependent originating condition. That one with ignorance, with wrong view, it will attach, it will cling, it will react, it will suffer, it will be afflicted. But the other one with wisdom and understanding will not be affected at all. It can span above and beyond. So this aspect of the training and understanding of the cultivation is very different. So today I will share with you by reading the whole thing again. So now I will read to the end. When random thought arise, do not react, surprise, suppress or try to control them. Just let things be and flow with them. Then investigate and find out what happened when you do that. You will come to understand that they are just thought, which arise and pass away. They come and they go according to our mental conditioning. views, opinion, and habitual tendency. We will also come to understand that when our five mental hindrances are around, you are not peaceful. When your five mental hindrances are around, you are not peaceful. And when the five spiritual faculties are there, they will counter the five mental hindrances, and you are then naturally peaceful. No matter what happens, do not try to control or suppress thought. Only through understanding, you free your mind. Not through the doing via thought-based meditation, which is the egoic mind. You must investigate, why are you like that? Why do you react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, feel and think? And why are you not peaceful? This is what meditation is all about. When you silence your mind to observe, you understand. You understand how your form and mind is conditioned into negativity of mind state, how anger arises, how fear arises, how envy, jealousy arises, how unhappiness arises, how the lack of peace arises. So all this, see, then trace the origination factor. Where you have wronged you. You react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile. You cannot be at peace. Why? Where you don't understand the Dhamma. Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. So at that moment, at that instant, the condition already set. It cannot go other way. Otherwise, nature's law will evolve and become like that. So that is the reality. That is what is. You have to come to terms with the reality, with what is, in the moment. That's like the present moment. If you are at peace, then your mind is free. You cannot be at peace and wanting your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. You become afflicted. You become miserable. So see this. Understand all this. Then your wisdom will grow. You will straighten your view and you will not be deluded anymore. Then whatever happens, you always have the understanding. Thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Cannot be otherwise. If I want to act, I can act. But I have to accept the reality first. I must not react. I must not project my thought. I must not become angry, unhappy, miserable. I must not be afflicted. I must accept the reality through wisdom, through right view, through understanding. Then there is clarity. Then I don't project my thought. I don't have fear. I don't have worry, anxiety. I don't have negativity of my state. Then I develop the understanding to act. How should I act? Act with wisdom, with understanding, following Noble Eightfold Path. Noble Eightfold Path means what? I must have right view. Right view means all this. A lot to do with karma, like the Buddha said. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So if that is the case, how can it be otherwise? It's definitely to do with karma. So I tell myself, if that is karma, I accept. Fair, isn't it? In the past, through delusion, ignorance, I did to people. Now I become the victim. So I accept, I'm at peace, I move. I do what I have to do. You need to ask for forgiveness, repent, do. You need to make aspiration, vow not to repeat all this karmic negativity by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. Do. Then invoke power of merits. Well, when you do this, you change for the better. You apply Dhamma. That's what life is all about. Then you ask yourself, how can I resolve this amicably following Noble Eightfold Path? With right view, I accept, then I arise the right thought, right speech, right action. Then I develop mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness to develop the understanding. Then I resolve it amicably so that no karmic negativity, nobody gets hurt, so that it is a win-win situation. Then life becomes beautiful, meaningful. So this is what Dhamma is all about. Then I read on. The essential Dhamma as taught by the Buddha will enable us to see the danger of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the importance of heedfulness, and the importance of following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. We are keeping the precept, do good, and purify the mind. We are cultivating Noble Eightfold Path until one is awakened. So this is a summary of what I tried to explain just now. Then similarly, one will also see the importance of cultivating Dana, Sila, Bhavana based on the right view with regards to the three important spiritual laws of nature, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, that governs all of life and existence, so as to understand and see the full big picture of the Dhamma cultivation clearly. Once you have this clearly mapped out and understood, you will never go wrong. You will never deviate. Okay? So this part is very beautiful. Okay, 10:09, I think we can stop here. Yeah, the next one is about the 10 Dhamma rhyme. Not so important.
Actually, I just came back from Kelantan, you see. I attended a retreat conducted by Brother Chong Sifu at the Pasir Mas, Kelantan. So, it actually was given to a group of university students whom their results are very good, and they give the scholarship. So at the same time, they give them an Anapana retreat, you see. So I'm glad I was had the opportunity to attend. So basically, their practice is exactly like what you taught. It's just that the words are a bit different, you see. So they emphasize on Anapanasati as well. So ask you to relax. And then during the Anapanasati, where you observe the breath in and out, they use the word Zai, the Hokkien, Zai. And then if there's any Sankara come in and think, you just Zai and Pan, Zai and Pan. So continue to observe the breathing in and out and this. And they want to give you the real life experience, you know, and they move you to from places to places. So the first night is nothing, just go to after the meditation, then we went back to our room to sleep. The second night they asked us to meditate in the Buddha hall there, you see. So 1 hour of meditations and then 1 hour of walking meditation and then sleep, and in the middle of night they ask you to wake up as well, 1 hour rest and then wake up again. So the third night they ask us to meditate and sleep at the cremation hall.
Cremation
hall, yeah, that's right. So where is the time where, you know, it's quite eerie and fierce, because it's an old cremation hall, see? But they just refurnish and they just paint it off. But it's actually quite old, and it's a
crematorium. They call it a crematorium where they
cremate the body. Yeah. Crematorium, and it's actually open to public, you see. So and right after, behind the crematorium is the graveyard. Okay, so the first night we will meditate and sleep. Everyone will just sleep all together. They are, you know, students, you know, there's only two guys, including me, you see, and the rest is about 10 ladies, all 20 years old, you see. So we all, because so scared, they're all putting sleep in the center, you see, at the end. So the second night, there's one, the other guy, is 20 years old, he volunteered himself to go to the top, whereby it's the closest to the cremation, you know, the place where you just put your coffin inside. It's just next to that, you see. That is a top, they call it the level one, you see. And there's level two, which is a few steps behind, and then level three and level four, you see. So he volunteered himself, and then he came to me and said, "Hey, brother, can you support me or not?" I said, "How? You sleep at the level two there, you know, just give me the support. I say, wow, since you are so brave enough, I don't dare to be there also. But okay, no worry, I will support you, see, I will go to the level two. So there was like at around about 10 something, you see. So we meditate, supposed to be 1 hour, stretch it to 1.5 hours. So knowing that behind I have somebody at my back, you see. So I have no fear, and then during the 1 hour sittings, I was very calm, and then just really try observe my meditation in breathing in and out. Then when the bell rang, and then I opened my eyes, I suddenly saw, why the downstairs there, level four, which is the closest to the end, is it? Why there's another 10, is it? Then I look at my back. The guy is supposed to be at my back. He went down, is it? So there's nobody at my back, is it? Then I was like, wow, that when I know that, wow, the fear just arise, is it? And then okay, they asked us to do the walking meditations, and then I went down to the hall and then walk meditation with them. But at that time I was like just thinking, is it, should I request to go down to join them or not, is it, instead of me alone at the top, you know, which is not the top, the level two, which is quite close to the cremation place, is it? Then I was like wondering and how I should do. Then what happened was that when the bell rang, I have to go back to the sitting. Then during the sittings, I was like, again, the fears came, and then because I know that there's nobody at my back, I'm the only one on top, you see, and all just gather so far away from me. And when the light is off, it's really dark. And you know that you are in the crematorium, eh? Yeah. And the graveyard is just behind you. And it was about 11:30. And this is Chinese July. Eh? All right. So I was just keep on asking me, why I'm fear, eh? What arise the fear? What are the things that I actually fear? All right. And then later on, I will just calm myself. I will calm myself and do the Anapanasati again. And I suddenly realized when I calm myself and then do the breathing, and I observe Chai Pan Chai Pan, suddenly I realized there's no much fear. See? The fear has lessened. And then I found that it's the thought. It's actually the thought that trigger me to arise a fear. Then if I continue to observe my breathing, then the fear is lessened and lessened. And that gives me the faith to continue, and then I will just continue to try. And when I do that more and more and more, the fear get lessened and lessened and lessened. All right, until the whole session end, which is about 12 something, and then they ask us to sleep. All right, and that was about 12 something, and I when I was sleeping, the time I was like, oh, say, which position should I face? Is it at the back and what? But yeah, but after that, after the meditation sitting, I was basically quite okay and sleep through, see. But yet middle of the night, about one something, they call up to meditate, and then later on, you know, I have to sleep there alone until earlier in the morning, about 4:30 and something like that. And that was something a very good experience, see, that you really facing your fear and how you encounter them, see. And yeah, that's my sharing. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And thank you now for the sharing. So at least this is his experience. But the question that you all have to maybe develop is ask yourself this question. Whenever there is fear, who fear? What fear? Is there a being inside there that fear? And what is it that have the fear? Is there an entity? You inquire, you become different. So who fear is very easy. Without the thought, there is no fear. That's why you have to meditate. You have to silence your mind. When you silence your mind, what happens? There is no need, like Jin Hao go through, try to be mindful of the in and bar. Then they teach him skillful means, bang, bang, bang. That one is all labeling. Why do you want to do that? You just relax, silent, and maintain awareness. No need to verbalize, bang, aware. These are words. Just silent, aware. Then what happened? Without thought, all the emotion, the fear cease. That's how you meditate. Relax, maintain awareness until all the thinking cease. When all the thinking cease, there is nobody to think. No thought means no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no negativity of mind state. That is what meditation is all about. Then you realize all this fear, worry, anxiety, even emotional anger, they are conditioned arising mind state. When I don't have wrong thought, when I don't use my brain, my memory, my views, opinion, and conditioning to think the conditioned thought, there is no fear. Who fear? What fear? But after you have gone through all this, you become different. Because there is nobody inside. He know you, he know me. So who fear? What fear? The thought fear is because of wrong thought, delusion, lack of wisdom. So when you understand all this, when you meditate and see them cease, then you realize our original mind, the true mind, that nature is so beautiful. It's the eternal life, the unconditioned. Nothing can touch it. Even if there is non-human ghost or whatever, so what? It can never touch that thing, that nature, the awareness. So all this need to be developed through an understanding. That's why you meditate with a silent mind. Silent means what? Just relax and maintain awareness. That's like aware, gone. Aware, gone. No need to add another word, bang, bang, bang. Then it become a label, and it become like a float you use in the swimming. Then you every time verbalize, bang, bang, bang. My chai, my chai. I mean, if you think it helps you initially, you try it, no harm. But finally, you will come to understand, no need to verbalize. Means what? Relax, maintain awareness. Means what? Stay with the silent mind. Stay with your nature. If you have realized it before, it's very easy to meditate. Whatever thought arise, let it be. Sankara anicchang, sankara come and go. Because they are conditioned thinking. Without this conditioning, they won't arise, accumulated in the brain, in the memory. Spiritual faculty is not stable. That's why they arise. So understand all this. Then move into the cultivation. Then you don't need to fear whether cemetery or whatever, or even channel ground, even crematorium. So what? They always say in Hokkien, I remember, Lang kia kui chit hun. Kui kia lang sa hun. So the Chinese also got a saying, you fear the ghost 70% no chit hun. Why? Because you don't know what the ghost is. Actually the ghost fear you more, really. Because they don't have a form, understand? No? They are in spirit form. They don't have a physical body. They cannot hurt you. They cannot harm you. They got no power over you. They can only have power over you when you have fear. They intensify your fear and make you miserable. And make your thought become haywire.
That's how you create your own suffering and misery. And fear is a very negative energy vibration. It can actually bring about negativity of mind state and cause your immune system to go down. And it's a very eerie and sick and very, they call it, that type of sensation is very eerie, or very negative one. It makes you miserable. Why? You are beautiful form and mind. Why must you react, stir, and project your thought and create all this wrong view and make yourself miserable over nothing? So understand that your nature is eternal life. Without thought, nothing. That's why sometimes I can just stay with the awareness, nothing. Whatever happened, let it be. And all these so-called ghosts, kui, or spirit, or even demons or whatever, so what? They are just spirit form, understand? They may have some form of very strong thought-based energy. But if you have the Dhamma, you have the virtue will protect you. You will not be subject to all this. So why do you want to fear? All these people, is they believe that in the teaching, in the sutta, under Kaya Nupassana, there is this last category of practice, cultivation, where you have to reflect and contemplate on the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition, how the dead body deteriorate and all those things. Then sometimes they say it's good to go and cultivate in the graveyard, the channel ground and all those things, so that it will test you, so that whether you still have fear or not. All this, if you do without understanding, is not going to help you, because fear is a projected condition thought. You look at our Asian culture, wherever you go to a dark place, they say ukui, got ghost. You go to cemetery, also got ghost. July month also, like you know, say got ghost, because it's the ghost festival and all those things. But do you know, for the Western culture, they go to cemetery, they bring flower and all, see, there is no such thing as that fear. But their religion believe their departed one is with the kingdom of God. Understand now? With Jesus, they're not saying, oh, with the kingdom of God means eternal life, utopia, and all those things. So they have a different culture. That's why they don't have this belief system, and they don't project their thought, and they don't have such fear. Maybe those quite low that are conditioned by Eastern culture will have fear. Otherwise, they don't have fear. Then sometimes they have faith. They hold the crucifix. They think God is with them, and they don't need to fear. But all this is still thought-based. When you meditate, is to develop the understanding and the wisdom through direct seeing, direct experiencing, direct awakening. Then when you understand all this, you will understand how the mundane mind stir and react and create that projection of fear. So fear is conditioned arising emotion, not intrinsic within your nature. Before you arise the fear, there was no fear. Then how did the fear arise? Trace the origination factor. Just because they say there is a crematorium, they burn and cremate the dead body, and there is fear just because they say there's a graveyard at the back, and you couple it with the July month. So all this intensify. But when you have the Dhamma and the understanding, you stay with your awareness, you can do what you want, no problem. You can enjoy the weather, the breeze, and all those things, and you can feel the vibration there, whether it's eerie or negative or whatever. No problem. That should be the meditative mind, not the thought projecting here and there, telling you story and making you panic. So The big difference between a cultivator who have the understanding and the mind state of a cultivator like that short video, that show, is very different. When you have that understanding and the mind of a cultivator, your mind is so different, peaceful, aware, tranquil, still, without the wrong view and the delusion. That's why wisdom free, nothing else. You need to experience it. You need to silence your mind and find out. When you are able to be with the moment without thought, that is so beautiful. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no negativity of mind state, no chattering, no labeling, and no this, no that. You are just with that moment. So beautiful, so pristine, just aware within the moment. So all this you can learn, you can improve on what you have understand. So a lot of people, they become gullible, you know, when they hear new words, new things, oh, they thought same, they thought, wow, punk, same. It's different because it's still holding on to another labeling. No need. When you meditate anapanasati, means what? Mindfulness of the in and out breath. Why you want to aware, got thought, got sankara, got what? That is not anapanasati. Anapanasati is just train your mind to be aware. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. That's it. Why you want to observe sankara? Then you can be conditioned and lost in that train of thought. Then you go and recall through memory, bang, besides you. I mean, people can teach that way because that is based on their understanding. But the one that has gone through, meditation is not about arising thought. Meditation is about awareness, silence. The silent mind without thought. Whatever that verbalize and chatter or labor, that one is the thought. So relax, maintain awareness is the fastest way to go into that samadhi or the silent mind, the awareness. And you just let things be, thought arise, let it arise. No need to labor, no need to suppress, no need to control, no need to know, no need to do anything. Because they arise due to your lack of spiritual faculty. Your daily life is not in order. You have not developed the sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension, the initial wisdom not there. That's why all this arise. So when you understand, you do what you have to do, your training become very clear. So this part, we should thank Jinhao for raising the condition for me to share so that you understand. Because these are very important understanding. Otherwise, most people have realized become gullible. Even Jinhao, after her learning so much, sometimes without the stability of understanding and clarity, you can still become gullible. But at least much better. He at least realized if he go and do the mindfulness of the in and out breath. When you are mindful, you cannot think. That's why the fear becomes less. When you are not mindful, you think, your fear comes because yours is a conditioned thinking based on your tradition, your belief system, your fear, your Chinese culture, and all these things. So these are very difficult to root out. Because you go to the brain, the memory, acting according to memory is not acting at all. Why do you go there? Why can't you stay at the heart? Maintain awareness. Then act with wisdom, with understanding. Where is my essential Dhamma? Who fear? What fear? He know you, he know me. Then, what is fear? Fear is a conditioned thinking, conditioned thought, dependent originating. Before I fear, before there was fear, there was no fear. Then how did fear arise? Fear arise subsequent, when you have your views, opinion, condition, thinking, your culture all coming in. That's what Krishnamurti teach. the brain is an accumulation of your past, your views, your opinion, your tradition, your insecurity, your culture, your belief system. All this actually condition the human mind. So meditation is to have the awareness to see all this and understand, then you liberate, you transform. Means you know all these are delusion, thought based, no reality. I must realize that nature. That nature is the unconditioned, never die. He know you, he know me, without thought. So beautiful. Why can't I realize that? Then all the questions cease. Then my nature becomes so beautiful. So this is the real understanding. Huh? But not easy for people to have that type of understanding, to reach that type of understanding. That's why most of them cannot leave. Okay, I think we have to end. 10:35 already.